It's music's greatest decade, beginning with Billboard's number one hit on January 7th, 1950, Gene Autry's Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and ending with Frankie Avalon's Why on December 28th, 1959. The 1950s was truly music's greatest decade. Tom Tirando is your host for this survey of Billboard's number one hit singles from 1950 through 1959, uncut, along with notes and background information on the songs, the artists, and much, much more. Sit back and relive the unique sounds of the 50s, or experience for the first time the most dynamic artists of that era. Here's Tom Tirando with the songs from another year of the 1950s, music's greatest decade.
All right, thanks, Michelle. Hi again, everybody. This is music's greatest decade. The year is 1950. Harry Truman is president. The average annual salary is $3,200. A gallon of gas is 18 cents. The average cost of a new car is $1,500, and 6 months after the decade starts, there's war in Korea. Music changes in the 1950s as Americans slowly leave behind the swing music and big band sound of the 1940s, and artists begin recording more ballads, instrumentals, and novelty songs. The music of the 1950s begins with a Christmas classic first sung by crooner Harry Brannon in November of 1949 on a New York City radio station. A month later, Gene Autry's recording of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer was a number one hit for Christmas, 1949. But according to the Billboard charts, the official date of its number one status was for the week ending January 7th, 1950, making it the first number one song of the new decade. Written by radio producer Johnny Marks and based on the 1939 character developed by Marks' brother-in-law for Montgomery Ward, here's the singing cowboy, Gene Autry. And the first number one hit of the 1950s.
You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen. But do you recall the most famous reindeer of all? Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer games. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight? Then how the reindeer loved him as they shouted out with glee, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you'll go down in history. Reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer games. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight? Then how the reindeer loved him as they shouted out with glee, Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer, you'll go down in history.
Autry's recording stayed at number one for the first week of 1950, never to return again. It sold nearly 2 million copies its first Christmas season and eventually sold a total of 12.5 million copies. Cover sales, however, of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer have exceeded 150 million copies, second only to Bing Crosby's White Christmas.
I can see, no matter how near you'll be, you never belong to me. But I can dream, can I? Can I pretend that I'm locked in the bend of your embrace? For dreams are just like wine, and I am drunk with mine. I'm aware my heart is a sad affair. There's much disillusion there, but I can dream, can I? Can I adore you? Of the way our oceans apart, I can't make you open your heart, but I can dream, can't I? I'm aware my heart is a sad affair. There's much disillusion there, but I can dream. Can I? Make you open your heart, but I can dream, can I? I can dream, can I?
The Andrews Sisters with music by the Gordon Jenkins Orchestra with I Can Dream, Can't I? Written by Sammy Fain with lyrics by Irving Cahal. This song was published in 1937, and Tommy Dorsey was the first to release a hit recording of it that same year. But it was in the post-war years that the song gained its greatest success. I Can Dream, Can't I first reached the Billboard charts on September 16, 1949, reaching number one on all three of the magazine's main pop charts, then left the scene. The week of January 14, 1950, the song reappeared and stayed for four straight weeks at number one. I Can Dream, Can't I was covered by the Skyliners in 1958, Joni James in 1959, Cass Elliot in 69, The Carpenters in 1975, and even Annie Lennox in 2014. The Ames Brothers recorded this next tune, widely considered to be a novelty song, since the lyrics consisted mostly of spelling out the title of the song, Ragmop. written by Western Swing bandleader Johnny Lee Wills and steel guitarist Deacon Anderson in 1949. It reached Billboard magazine's chart on January 6, 1950, and lasted 14 weeks, reaching the top spot, however, on February 11, 1950, but staying just a week before it was unseated by a Red Foley song. It has shown up on the Beanie and Cecil cartoon show, on an Alvin and the Chipmunks album, and even made an appearance on a Season 9 episode of MASH.
I say M-O, M-O-P, M-O-P-P, mop, M-O-P-P, mop, 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 bar. I say R-A, R-A-G, R-A-G-G, rag, R-A-G-G, M-O-P-P, rag, mop, doo-doo-doo-da, da-da, rag. R-A-G-G-M-O-P-P, rag mop.
Interesting little tidbit here, Rag Mop was the last single released to hit number one on the Billboard chart that was released only as a 78 RPM platter. After this point in popular music history, every song to hit number one was released only as a 45. As we told you earlier, Red Foley's version of Chattanooga Shoeshine Boy knocked Rag Mop out of the top spot on Billboard's list of number one singles, and it stayed there for 4 weeks from February 18th through March 18th in 1950. Also known as Chattanooga Shoeshine Boy, the song was covered by many artists including Bing Crosby, Louis Armstrong, Frank Sinatra, Phil Harris, Bill Darnell, and Farron Young. Versions by Phil Harris and Bing Crosby made Billboard's top singles list in the early months of 1950, but none of them reached the top spot. Red Foley's spirited version remained on top for 4 weeks between February and March 1950. Look over there, Ma, on the corner of 4th and Grand, a little ball of rhythm with a shoeshine stand, better known as the Chattanooga Shoeshine Boy. Here's Red Foley.
Have you ever passed the corner of 4th and Grand, where a little ball of rhythm has a shoeshine stand? People gather round and they clap their hands. He's a great big bundle of joy. He pops a boogie-woogie rag.
the Chattanooga shoeshine boy. He charges you a nickel just to shine one shoe. He makes the oldest kind of leather look like new. You feel as though you want to dance when he gets through. He's a great big bundle of joy. He pops the boogie-woogie rag, the Chattanooga shoeshine boy. It's a wonder that the rag don't tear the way he makes it pop. You ought to see him fan the air with his hoppity-hibbity-hibbity-hobbity-hobbity-hibbity-hop. He opens up a business when the clock strikes nine. He likes to get them early when they're feeling fine. Everybody gets a little rise and shine with a great big bundle of joy. He pops a boogie-woogie rag, Chattanooga shoeshine boy. And listen, let it go. Don't that tickle you? It's a wonder that the rag don't tear the way he makes it pop. Just listen to him fan the air. Here goes. He opens up a business when the clock strikes nine. He likes to get them early when they're feeling fine. Everybody gets a little rise and shine with a great big bundle of joy. He pops a boogie-woogie rag, Chattanooga shoeshine boy. The Chattanooga shoeshine boy.
Was Teresa Brewer, one of the most prolific and popular female singers of the 1950s, recording nearly 600 songs. An agent, Richie Lozella, heard her sing, took her career in hand, and soon she was signed to a contract with London Records. In 1949, she recorded a record called Copenhagen with the Dixieland All-Stars. The B-side was the song you just heard, called Music, 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 by Stephen Weiss and Bernie Baum. Unexpectedly, it was that B-side recording that became Teresa's signature song, selling over a million copies and staying atop Billboard's list of number one singles for 4 weeks, from March 18th to April 15th, 1950.
You're listening to Music's Greatest Decade with Tom Tarando.
This next song by Eileen Barton spent 15 weeks on Billboard's 1950 list, 2 as Billboard's number one single. "If I Knew You Were Coming, I'd Have Baked a Cake" was a popular song written by Al Hoffman, Bob Merrill, and Clem Watts and published in 1950. The best-known version of the song was recorded by Eileen Barton in January of 1950 and released the next month by National Records. It was so popular that National Records had to enlist the help of Mercury Records in its distribution. So admit it, how many times have you used that line when guests come over unexpectedly? "If I knew you were coming, I'd have baked a cake." Here's the number one hit from April 15th through April 29th, 1950, by Eileen Barton.
Come in. Well, 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 look who's here. I haven't seen you in many a year. If I knew you were coming, I'd have baked a cake, baked a cake, baked a cake. If I knew you were coming, I'd have baked a cake. Hut-cha-do, hut-cha-do, hut-cha-do. Had you dropped me a letter, I'd have hired a band, grandest band in the land. Had you dropped me a letter, I'd have hired a band and spread the welcome mat for you. Oh, I don't know where you came from, 'cause I don't know where you've been, but it really doesn't matter. Grab a chair and fill your platter and dig, dig, dig right in. If I knew you were coming, I'd have baked a cake, hired a band, goodness sake. If I knew you were coming, I'd have baked a cake. Hut-cha-do, hut-cha-do, hut-cha-do.
An instrumental, the Third Man theme, spent 11 weeks as Billboard's number one single in 1950, second only to the 13 weeks "Goodnight Irene" by the Weavers, spent in that top spot. The Third Man was a 1949 British film noir directed by Carol Reed. One night, after a long day of filming, The Third Man, on location in Vienna, Reed and cast members Joseph Cotten, Alida Valli, and Orson Welles had dinner and retired to a wine cellar. While relaxing in the bistro, which retained the atmosphere of the pre-war days, they heard the zither music of Anton Karas, a 40-year-old musician who was playing there for tips. Reed immediately realized that this was the music he wanted for his film. So he asked fellow customers to translate his request that Karas compose and perform the soundtrack for The Third Man. Karras was reluctant at first, but accepted, and wrote and recorded the 40 minutes of music heard in the Third Man movie. So prominent is that Third Man theme that the image of its performance on the vibrating strings of the Visser provides the background for the film's main title sequence.
A strangeness in your smile. Do you smile to tempt a lover, Mona Lisa? Or is this your way to hide a broken heart? Many dreams have been brought to your doorstep. They just lie there, and they die there. Are you warm? Are you real, Mona Lisa? Are just a cold and lonely, lovely work of art? Do you smile to tempt a lover, Mona Lisa? Or is this your way to hide a broken heart? Many dreams have been brought to your doorstep. They just lie there, and they die there. Are you warm? Are you real, Mona Lisa? Are just a cold and lonely, lovely work of art, Mona Lisa, Mona Lisa.
Mona Lisa was a popular song written by Ray Evans and Jay Livingston for the Paramount Pictures film Captain Carey USA in 1950. The title and lyrics refer to the Renaissance portrait Mona Lisa painted by Leonardo da Vinci. The song won the Academy Award for Best Original Song in 1950. The soundtrack version by Nat King Cole spent 8 weeks on the Billboard's 1950 singles chart, 5 of those weeks at number 1. Cole's version of the song was inducted into the Grammy Hall of Fame in 1992. Mona Lisa was covered by many artists over the last 60-plus years, including Elvis Presley, Willie Nelson, Harry Connick Jr., Brian Setzer, Conway Twitty, Carl Mann, and Nat's daughter, Natalie, in 1992. Mona Lisa was featured prominently in The Freshman, a film in which Marlon Brando spoofed his Godfather performance, and it was in the background of a party scene in Alfred Hitchcock's Rear Window in 1954.
Saturday night I got married. Me and my wife settled down. Now me and my wife are parted. I'm gonna take another stroll downtown.
Irene, good night.
Stop your gambling, stop staying out late at night. Go home to your wife and family, stay there by your fireside bright.
Irene, good night.
That was, of course, Goodnight Irene by the Weavers and accompanied by the Gordon Jenkins Orchestra. That song spent an incredible 13 weeks at number one on Billboard's top singles list in 1950. Goodnight Irene, or Irene Goodnight, was first recorded in 1933 by Huddy Leadbelly Leadbetter. In 1950, 1 year later, after Leadbelly's death, the American folk band The Weavers recorded a version of Goodnight Irene. The single first reached the Billboard bestseller chart on June 30, 1950, and lasted 25 weeks on the chart, peaking at number one on August 19, 1950, and staying there until November 18th. The Weavers changed some of the song's more controversial lyrics, and their version stuck. All subsequent recordings and covers of Goodnight Irene kept the version. Billboard ranked this version as the number one song of 1950.
You're listening to Music's Greatest Decade with Tom Tarando.
I saw the harbor lights. They only told me we were parting. The same old harbor lights that once brought you. Starting goodbye to tender nights beside the silvery sea. I long to hold you near and kiss you just once more, but I was on the ship.
Williams with lyrics Kennedy. This song was originally sung by Francis Langford in 1937 and was republished in 1950. The biggest selling version was that one, recorded by the Sammy Kaye Orchestra. The recording was released by Columbia Records both as a 78 and a 45 single. The record first reached the Billboard's charts on September 1, 1950, and lasted 25 weeks, peaking at number one on the week of November 18, 1950, and staying on top for 2 weeks' time. The Thing, a novelty song by comedian and entertainer Phil Harris, spent the month of December 1950 as Billboard's number one singles hit. Recorded by Phil Harris on October 13, 1950, and released by RCA Victor Records a month later, the record first reached the Billboard charts on November 17, 1950, and lasted 14 weeks, peaking at number one on December 4, 1950, and staying there for the entire month. Other versions were recorded by Arthur Godfrey, Ray Charles, Teresa Brewer, and Les Welch. Here now, The Thing.
While I was walking down the beach one bright and sunny day, I saw a great big wooden box a-floating in the bay. I pulled it in and opened it up, and much to my surprise, ooh, I discovered a... Right before my eyes, ooh, I discovered a... Right before my eyes, I picked it up and ran to town as happy as a king. I took it to a guy I knew who'd buy most anything. But this is what he hollered at me as I walked in his shop. Ooh, get out of here with that before I call a cop. Ooh, get out of here with that before I call a cop. I turned around and got right out of running for my life. And then I took it home with me to give it to my wife. But this is what she hollered at me as I walked in the door. Oh, get out of here with that, and don't come back no more. Oh, get out of here with that, and don't come back no more. I wandered all around the town until I chanced to meet a hobo who was looking for a handout on the street. He said he'd take most any old thing, he was a desperate man. But when I showed him the, he turned around and ran. Oh, when I showed him the, he turned around and ran. I wandered on for many years, a victim of my fate, until one day I came upon St. Peter at the gate. And when I tried to take it inside, he told me where to go. Get out of here with that and take it down below. Oh, get out of here with that and take it down below. The moral of the story is, if you're out on the beach and you should see a great big box and it's within your reach, don't ever stop and open it up. That's my advice to you, 'cause you'll never get rid of the, no matter what you do. Oh, you'll never get rid of the, no matter what you do.
The last song on Billboard's number one singles chart in 1950 was The Tennessee Waltz, with lyrics by Red Stewart and music by Pee Wee King. Written in 1946 and first released in January 1948, the song became a multi-million seller, mainly on the strength of this 1950s recording by Patti Page. All versions of the lyrics narrate a situation in which the persona has introduced his or her sweetheart to a friend, who then waltzes away with him or her. The lyrics are altered for pronoun gender on the basis of the gender of the singer. The popularity of Tennessee Waltz also made it the fourth official song of the state of Tennessee, and that happened in 1965. Tennessee Waltz made Billboard's number one singles on the week ending December 30th, 1950, which makes it the last song that we'll play for you in this year, 1950. It stayed on top of Billboard's list for 9 weeks, making it also the number one song leading off 1951. Thanks for joining us on this edition of Music's Greatest Decade. Join us next time for the number one singles of 1951 on Music's Greatest Decade. So long, everybody. Here's Tennessee Waltz.
dancing with my darling to the Tennessee waltz when an old friend I happened to see introduced her to my loved one, and while they were dancing, my friend stole my sweetheart from me. I remember the night and the Tennessee waltz. Now I know just how much I have lost. Yes, I lost my little darling the night they were playing the beautiful Tennessee waltz. I remember how much I have lost. Yes, I lost my little darling the night they were playing the beautiful Tennessee.
You're listening to Music's Greatest Decade with Tom Tarando. Join us next time for another year's number one singles from the 1950s on Music's Greatest Decade.